He's ready for me. Amen. I want to ask y'all to pray tonight, if you would, for a gentleman by the name of Jeff Thomas. Amen. He called me at the house tonight and asked me if we'd pray for him and possibly want to come by and speak with me. He's a gentleman that was in the truck that was involved in the accident up on the parkway. And he's troubled, and that's understandable, and grieved in his heart. And I don't know him from Adam's house cat. I just know that he called, and he seemed like a grieving man. And I want to try to pray for him and help him if I can. So you, your name is Jeff Thomas. You'd pray for him. And then I want to ask you to pray for a couple of, well, I won't say, I will too. I want you to pray for a couple of infidels. I got two of my famous letters in the mail today. One of them was addressed to the church, and all it had in it was a gospel tract. And no return address, no name, just a little card, a little tract. And I guess they're implying that we're all lost, from the best I can understand in the tract, you know. And then I got a letter from a fellow wanting to know why we didn't, as fundamentalists, didn't preach all the Bible. And Brother Mark, he must be a Catholic, because his problem with my preaching is that I'm wrong on the Lord's Supper, that I don't preach that the body of Christ or the wafer and the juice is the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus. And I wrote him back and explained to him why the Lord said that his flesh was meat indeed and his blood was drink indeed. And then I put it at the bottom of it and I said, and sir, besides that, I'm not a cannibal. And so you pray, honestly pray for these people. I'm telling you, we've got some mixed up, confused individuals in the world today. We really have. Well, I want to preach out of Solomon again tonight, if you'll let me. So chapter number 7 and verse number 4. If you'll stand with me, please, when you find that place in your Bible. Solomon chapter number 7 and verse number 4. And I want to try to preach a little while, if God will help me, out of that text tonight. In verse number 4, the Bible said, "Thy neck is as a tower of ivory, thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Beth-Rabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus." I don't know how you ladies would feel if your husband described you in that manner, that your neck looked like a tower of ivory, and that your eyes looked like two fish pools, and your nose looked like a tower of Lebanon that looked toward Damascus. But that's what the text says. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help us tonight and to speak to our hearts. Brother Steve, if you'd pray for me, please. Thank you now, and you may be seated. Try to do the best we can tonight. Verse number 4. And the first part of that verse, where the Bible said there that thy neck is as a tower of ivory. And if God will help me tonight, I want to try to preach around this thought for just a little while. The great link between God and man. The great link between God and man. Man has been separated from God because of sin.
Right.
And no man can get to God carrying his own sin.
Amen.
And so I want to try to preach for a little while tonight on that thought, the great link that stands between God and man.
Amen.
And I want to try to encourage you just a little bit, if I can do that tonight. I feel like the church needs encouragement. And I'll be quite honest with you, Brother Hall needs a little grace himself. And a little encouragement. I'm not going to preach anything new, but I'm going to try to magnify Christ in our presence tonight, if I can do that, and try to be a blessing to the church. I want to remind you, as we begin our study tonight, as we continue our study in Solomon's Song, that Christ, here in chapter 7, is describing His bride. We're looking at the church, not through the eyes of man, but through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you tonight that it really doesn't matter what men think of men, or what you think that I am, or what I may think that you are. It really doesn't matter how I look at you, and I might measure you, or hell, I might gauge you in your Christian life. But I tell you what really matters tonight is how the Lord sees us. The Lord is the one that searches the heart, and God is the one that tries the reins. He's the man. He's the one that holds life and death. He is the one to whom salvation belongs. And He is the one that we're going to have to stand tonight and give an account of ourselves to. It may shock some of you, but I'm not going to have to stand and give an account to myself before you. But I will have to stand and give an account of myself before Almighty God. Now, He says here that that the neck of the church is as a tower of ivory. And there are several things that I could preach on tonight concerning a neck as being like a tower of ivory. The neck is a part of our body that stands erect and strong. And I could use that neck as a type of the uprightness of the people of God. I think God's people ought to stand right. God's called us to live a righteous and a holy life. And we ought to be upright in all of our dealings with man, in all of our responsibilities. We ought to be upright in the house of God. We ought to walk uprightly. The wise man, Solomon said in Proverbs 2 and verse 21, "For the upright shall dwell in the land." That's talking about, my friend, the eternal land. "The upright shall dwell in the land." Those that have been justified by the grace of God. Those that may have been sinners and walked a crooked line, but by the grace of God, they can be justified, and God's able to make them walk a straight line. And so they will dwell in the land. And He said, "The perfect shall remain in it." Somebody said, "Preacher, you're not perfect." Well, I am in the eyes of God. I stand perfect and upright in Him. Now, it is ivory also in color, is a bright white color, much of it. And it signifies the purity of the church. He said, "Your neck is as a tower of ivory." You know, Brother John said, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." I've quoted this verse so many times. The Lord is coming back after a glorious church that is without spot and without wrinkle. I want to say that God's people are pure people. We're holy people. We're righteous people. We're like a net that's like a tower of ivory, pure in our life. Ivory also, being costly, denotes the value of the church. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm not worth much." Well, in my eyes and your eyes, we're not worth a great deal. But have you ever considered what it took to purchase the church? The Bible said in Acts 20:28 that He purchased the church with His own blood.
Friend, we may not be worth a great deal tonight, but I tell you, it took heaven's best to ransom our soul from the depths of sin and depravity. Amen. You can mark that down. Yes, sir. He found a pearl of great price and gave everything and purchased it with his own blood. I'm glad tonight, thank God, that he saw something in you and I that we don't see in ourselves. Somebody said, what is it, preacher? It's what grace can make us. Friend, as a sinner, you and I are worth very little. As a sinner, we're wicked and ungodly. As a sinner, we're on our way to hell. But by the grace of God, we're purified, made holy, justified, upright in Christ, and we're on our way to that celestial city. Amen and amen. That is right. That is right. That is right. Now, with such a high price being paid, the value is high. But the neck is that which links the head to the body. And Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. Now, I want to preach on that great link between God and man. And there's several things that I could use to preach on that. I could mention the blood of Christ as being a great link. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm thankful for the blood. Brother, some folks preach baptism, some good works. Amen. Some preach the sacraments to draw us nigh to Christ. But I'm thankful tonight that it is by the blood that we're brought nigh. Without the shed blood of Christ, we had yet be afar off. We had yet be in our sin. We had yet be dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. But I'm glad that He shed His blood, entered into the Holy of Holies, and there obtained eternal redemption for you and I by the grace of God. Amen. And I won't say, my friend, that it's not transubstantiation either. Amen to God. You can say amen right there. So I could mention the blood as a great link. I could preach the cross as being that great link. Ephesians 2:16 says, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. And so it's by the cross, my friend, that Christ hath brought you and I nigh to God. I'm glad, my friend, that the cross spans the awful gulf of sin and makes it possible for man to get to God. Somebody said, preacher, is it good works? No, it's by the blood of the cross. Is it by baptism? No, it's by the blood of the cross. Oh, is it by the sacraments? No, it's by the blood of the cross. I'm telling you, my friend, there was an awful gulf between God and man, and that gulf was sin. But the cross, my friend, has spanned the awful gulf and brought man and God together. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. I'm glad that when He died on the cross of Calvary, that God was in Christ, my friend, reconciling man unto Himself. When man couldn't get to God, God come to where man was. Amen. I tell you, the incarnation is a mystery of miracles. How that God was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that same God that was made flesh and we beheld His glory laid His life down on Calvary, my friend, that man might get to God. Now I want to say there's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah to God. Amen. So I can preach on the cross a while. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I saw the light. Yes, sir, my friend. Thanks be unto God for the cross of Calvary. There's no place like Golgotha. Three men on the hill, but the man in the middle, my friend, died for our sins, paid our sin debt, went to the grave, rose up out of the grave, ascended back to God, that he might justify you and I, that we might be brought nigh unto God. Amen. Now I'm going to preach. You can just sit there and stare and muck and all you want to do. But I done made up my mind. I'm going to preach. The great link between God and man. I want to say that great link could be the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But tonight, I want to use something else as that link. I think one of the greatest and most blessed words in all the Bible, and its name, it's the letters in it, bears its name. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. I'm here to tell you, my friend, it is the grace of God that's the great link between God and man. That unmerited favor. That love that you and I don't deserve. Oh, that's right. Amen. I told you I want to magnify him. Thank God for grace. For by grace are you saved. Hear what I said? For by grace are you saved. I had a preacher to call me a while back. Said, Brother Hall, you're a Calvinist. I said, why, sir? He said, because you use that term, you're a preacher of grace. I said, sir, I know nothing else to preach. I'm not going to preach the law, for by it shall no man be justified before God. Oh, I'm going to preach grace, for it's by grace are you saved through faith. I'm undeserving of that love, undeserving of the cross, undeserving of the blood. I ought to be in hell. But God loved me, my friend, and sent his Son into the world to suffer, bleed, and die in my place. He took my place on the cross and died that I might have life. I'm glad that I thank God, hallelujah, that grace is the great link between God and man. That's right. Amen to God. There's a lot of folks don't like that grace. Huh? That's right. Folks trying to get to God every way they can. Except the right way. But they'll never get there beside grace. Oh, they're trying to get good enough to get there. Friend, there's no man that'll get good enough to get there. I told folks in the office today, I want to run it by you again. You will never understand the love of God and how much He loves you until you see yourself as God sees you. That's right. A worm and no man in a dunghill, deserving of hell. Somebody, amen, ought to be there, as Hanley Melby said, with her neck broke, and we deserve it. Somebody said, I don't deserve hell. Yes, you do. You're a sinner. You were an ungodly sinner, a wicked man, a wicked woman. But by the grace of God, God came to where you were and lifted you out of that dunghill and birthed you into the family of God and made a child of God out of you. Hallelujah. I know that's right. Grace. And you'll never, friend, love God the way you ought to love God until you realize what you are. Till you see yourself as God sees what you are. May I say that He sees you as filthy rags. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Aren't you thankful that grace divinely intervened and took your old filthy rags and gave you a garment of righteousness that covered your nakedness. Hallelujah. Just like God come to Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them coats of skin and covered their own little self-righteousness with their fig leaves. God came to where you and I was and covered up our self-righteousness with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus and clothed us in the righteousness of Christ. I'm righteous because He's righteous. I'm clothed in His righteousness. Somebody said, what done it? Grace. Grace. You know, hey, you ever read the parable of the story of the wedding garment? When the Lord looked on that one guest and said, sir, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment on? How'd you get in here without the righteousness of Christ? I tell you, there'll be none there, friend, without that righteousness. He said, bind him hand and feet and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Grace. Grace. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I come across the scripture yesterday, and I wasn't going to preach this until Sunday morning. But I come across a verse of scripture that absolutely has done more for me than anything that I've read in a long time. I don't ever remember reading it. And I don't know how many times I've plowed through the Bible. But I don't ever remember reading it. I want to mention five kinds of grace that God gives to His people. It is the great link between God and man. I want to say, first of all, I want to preach a little while on the headstone of grace. Somebody said, preacher, the headstone of grace, what do you... Hey, in Zechariah, when Zerubbabel went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the walls, and the rubbish was piled high from the walls that had been torn down and the buildings that had been destroyed, and Zechariah thought that it was an impossibility to rebuild that temple and rebuild that wall. And God in Zechariah 4:9 said, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain and shalt bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, there is a headstone of grace. That mountain that was made a plain was the rubbish that covered the grace, that hid the grace of God. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm about ready to preach. Now, some of you done ticked me off, bless God. That's right, amen. And that rubbish, my friend, had hid their eyes from the headstone. Now, I'm afraid that rubbish in our lives has hidden the headstone of grace, that it's unrecognizable before many Baptists tonight. Oh, if we could ever see it, I'd like to... Amen to God. If we'd ever wake up and open our blinded eyes, my friend, and get some of the rubbish out of our lives, that we might see the good grace of God. May God tonight open some of your eyes that you might get down and find the headstone. Hallelujah to God. It's under the rubbish. It's there, my friend. The headstone is there. Somebody said, what is a headstone? It's Jesus, my friend. The stone which the builders rejected has become what? It's become the head of the corner. I'm glad there's a headstone of grace tonight. You know, when Brother Paul said in the book of Hebrews, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. I wonder tonight, how many of you really see Jesus as the headstone of grace? Amen. Yes, sir. Psalm 118:25 said, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Amen. You know what a headstone is of the corner? Come on, somebody help me. Amen. My God, I thought there might be liberty in the place tonight. Huh? You know what a headstone is at the corner? It sets at a corner, friend. and it runs that way and that way. Amen. Woo! Yes. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm about ready to tell you. Jesus is that great link between God and man. He's the headstone. He is the headstone of grace. And that headstone of grace runs this way, and it runs that way. Oh, so Jesus is grace, a coming and a going. Hallelujah to God. Did you get a hold of that? He is grace, a coming, and His grace, a going. That is, when you're going up Calvary's mountain, going to Him, He's grace. And when you're going back down Calvary's mountain, He's grace. When you're going toward the grave, He's grace. And when you're leaving the grave, He's grace. He's grace coming and going. Oh, yes, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. And the reason some of you can't see grace is you've got too much rubbish before your eyes. Oh, we got our televisions out of the house. Huh? But we've let some little pet peeve come on in the house. We've shut some little pet peeve tick us. Huh? And that's all that our minds can focus on. That's all. Some little old insignificant nothing. And we are the beatenest creatures I've ever seen in my life. To let little insignificant nothings deprive us of the good grace of God. And seeing just how wonderful God has been to us. Huh? We come in here tonight a dragging bottom and our lips roll down. Come dragging in about 2 minutes before 7 o'clock. And there is 5,400 people in New York State tonight, dead. And no doubt at least that many husbands and wives that are grieved. Not to mention the little children like that little black boy in the paper Sunday hanging over his mama's casket, and no doubt a grandma standing there with tears running down her face. Grieved in their heart. Sorrowful spirit. And we come to church tonight, friend Acton, I'm talking about plumb dead. Mad. Some of you look like you're mad. Who are you mad at? We ought to come to church tonight happy. Son, Brother Robert, that could have been our loved ones laying up there tonight. That could have been our loved ones under thousands and thousands of tons of concrete and steel. That could have been your little boy or your little girl. Hey, children, that could have been your mommy, your daddy. Under all of that rubble, son, we ought to come to church thanking God that we live in rural America, in Madisonville. Hallelujah to God. Hedged in and sheltered from a lot of the mess that goes on in the big cities. But rather than come to church happy in God, we come with our lips hanging down, mullet grubbing, ticked off, teed off, peed off, and everything else, and dare God to bless us if He can. I won't charge anything for that. Unthankful and unholy. And they go together. Classify yourself. Huh? 1 Peter 3:18 said, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust." For what reason, Brother Peter? That He might bring us to God. Woo! The captain of our salvation. The great file leader. Oh yes, the point man. The point man that now, my friend, has ascended behind the veil in the presence of God. You know what a point man is, don't you, brother? Huh? I'm glad, thank God, for a point man. That's right, December the 9th, 1966, 28 men on a riverbed in Phan Thet Province in South Vietnam, my friend, 14 dropped to the ground, and how many of them died, I do not know. But a black man, the point man, the fellow that was out taking the lead in the danger spot, tripped a booby trap and that surrounded the platoon I was in, and 14 men fell to the ground, my friend. That point man lost his head. I know he lost his life. He gave his life that some of the rest might live. I'm telling you, friend, when I got on the helicopter the next morning, I wasn't sitting there with my lip hanging down. I was free on my way back to America. Home was in sight. Liberty, oh yes. I got down in California and kissed the ground, son, when I got into California, into Oakland. Somebody said, you're a fool. Call me what you want. I was glad to be home. Amen to God. But if it hadn't have been for that point man, I'd have been in hell tonight. Oh yes, I was lost and I'd have been in hell. But a point man, hallelujah to God, a point man to give his life that I might have life. He took my blow in Vietnam. But I'm telling you one greater than that. We got a file leader. We got a captain of our salvation that walked up on Calvary's hill and took our blow. He took the sting out of death. He took our blow that we might go to glory someday. Woo! Hallelujah. I help myself. David encouraged himself. If I have to, I'll encourage myself tonight. Amen. That's right. That he might bring us to God. The link is Jesus, friend. Huh? Grace. He is grace. Don't nobody leave me now. I hope some folks is listening tonight. I want to say it's not Buddha. Huh? He's in the grave and he's in hell. And it's not Allah. That bunch of Muslims over there that thinks their God will protect him. He's Baal and he's going to, and he's not going, he's in hell tonight. Somebody said, oh, preacher, you'll stir some of them up in Madisonville. Bless God, maybe it might stir you up. Allah's in hell. Buddha's in hell. Joseph Smith is in hell tonight. They are not the link between God and man. I've got news for our Catholic friends. Mary is not the link between God and man. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, he is my intercessor. He is my middleman. He's my mediator. He's my link tonight between God and man. I'm not going to Buddha, Allah, Joseph Smith, or Mary. I'm going to Jesus tonight, my friend, as my link between God, me and God. Amen to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I say you're making me earn it tonight. Woo! That's right. Amen. Now Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. When, preacher? Read it. Now! Now he's entered into heaven itself. To do what? To appear in the presence of God for us. What grace? What grace? Now, son, if you can figure this one out. That God could appear before God. For me and you. That's a miracle. That God could appear before God for me and you. Amen. Get this now. And if God be for us, pray tell me who can be against us. Woo! Old Taliban, I got to get his tally one time. I know it don't sit well with some folk, but I'm going to tell you what, if they give me an M16, I'd like to go back and take my, I'd like to pull the trigger. Amen. I'm going to say, when I looked at that little black boy hanging over that casket, son, I told my wife, I said, I'd pull the trigger. Got quiet on that one now. I don't need it. I've got my own. That's right. Jesus is there. If God be for us, he said, oh, they said we're not afraid of a holy war. God's on our side. That's what the 450 prophets of Baal thought too, friend.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. When Elijah prayed down the fire, hallelujah to God, and turned the hearts of God's people back to God. No, Brother Doug, that's what we need tonight.
Yes. Yes.
May God, may the breath of God help us tonight. I'm telling you, friend, we need the fire of God to fall to turn our hearts back to God tonight. We're so far from God and so cold-hearted on God. He loved us and grace bought us, my friend, and grace will carry us perfect, perfect, perfect home to glory. And yet I'm afraid that we don't recognize. Grace of God.
Amen.
And I don't know. I'll start to say something, I better not. Hebrews 9:12. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
I've got to hurry. There's the headstone of grace, which is Jesus. But did you know there's holy grace? I'm talking about the link between God and man, friend. Somebody said, what's holiness got to do with it? I'm going to tell you what holiness got to do with it. Brother Paul said in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Without holy grace, friend, we ain't getting to God. You ain't getting to God. There's a whole lot of folk talking about going to heaven. They ain't going. He didn't say, be ye moral. Be holy.
Amen.
I might as well just slow down and just go ahead and preach. He didn't say, be moral. Oh, I've never killed anybody, preacher. I've never robbed a bank. I've never committed rape or incest or adultery. Wonderful. Wonderful. I don't drink liquor. I don't run around downtown. Don't run around. Wonderful. But I'm telling you, morality will not get you into heaven. Holiness, why anybody can quit drinking liquor. Why, I don't even smoke. Anybody can quit smoking. Lost men today, Brother Billy, have stopped smoking simply for healthful reasons. God ain't got a thing to do with it. I remember when I quit smoking, I thought, buddy, I've arrived. Son, I am a saint sprouting pin feathers. I've give up cigarettes. That's not holiness. And I've got news for us. We don't get holy by doing holy things. Some folks think maybe taking up the offering, preaching, playing the piano, singing special music is a grace that'll make you holy. You're dumber than a box of rocks, sir. We're not made holy by doing holy things. We're made holy by God that we might do holy things for God. I'm talking about being consecrated, friend. Set apart for God, which is an act of Almighty God. Somebody said, preacher, well, just listen to this. Holy grace, what's it do? It justifies. I said Sunday, buddy, old Pierre Austin, saying justified like no man I've ever heard saying justified. Listen to what he said in Romans 3:24. Being justified freely. Freely. Somebody said, do you believe in free grace? The Bible believes in free grace. Being justified freely. Not by works, but freely. Not by a prayer, but freely. Not by saying the sinner's prayer, but freely. Justified by grace. Freely, friend. Freely, being freely justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Holy grace justifies a man. Somebody said, what does justification do? It pardons us. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. By the way, that's repentance. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'm here to tell you, justification pardons a sinner from his sin. Somebody said, what is pardon? Guilty, but pardoned. Justification, friend, does not relieve us of the guilt, judicially speaking. We're guilty sinners. But when God justifies, He pardons us. He opens the prison cell. Said you can go free. What a God. Justified, by the way, is a legal term. It means just like you had never sinned. Boy, can you talk about grace. Just like holiness.
Right. Amen.
Holy grace. Just like you had never sinned. Some of y'all in here have a hard time forgiving yourself. I see some of you shaking your head up and down. I'm going to tell you, God's pardoned you. Hallelujah. That grace. Justification pardons. Justification perfects. Justification presents us faultless before God. Jude 24. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory. The presence of His glory? You mean to tell me we're going to see the glory one of these days?
Yes, sir.
I think it was Brother Steve. Told me yesterday, he said, preacher, I ain't got everything down pat on that transfiguration. He said, how did Peter, James, and John know that that was Moses and Elijah? With Jesus. What would you say? Boy, is this so quiet? I don't get a flip. I'm going to tell you the answer I gave him. Because they were so close to a glorified state, son. They had so much enlightenment. Jesus was there in all of His wonderful glory and majesty. Huh? And hey, and that glory and that majesty and that perfect environment so illuminated their hearts and minds that they knew as they were known. They knew who it was. Let us build three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. How'd you know? How'd you know? How'd they know who Jesus was? Transfigured before their eyes. Not very interesting to lost people. Some of you are smiling big time. I say to a lost person. Holy grace. Headstone of grace. Come on in the house now. There's helping grace. And some of you desperately need it tonight. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. To help in a time of need. Somebody said, preacher, and I'm just going to run through these. What will it help us with? May I say it'll help us with our faults? Grace will help us with our faults. Can I say this to you tonight? If you think that I've got a fault and you don't come to me personally and tell me about it, you are a sorry reprobate. And I likewise with you.
Amen.
Thank you, Miss Sharon. I'm glad somebody agrees with me. It'll help us with our failures. Grace will help us with our fussing. Can I say there's healing grace?
Amen.
Huh? Come on, children.
Yes, sir.
Like the good Samaritan that poured in the oil and the wine, it'll heal our wounds. It'll heal our wallets.
Amen.
It'll heal our weariness.
Yes, sir.
And there's holding grace. God can hold us by grace in combat. And He'll hold us when we're making the crossing.
Amen.
We don't have to cross Jordan alone, friend. I'm glad that there's grace.
Amen.
Sufficient. Let's stand together. Father, I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord, that that grace links the head and the body and holds us firm. Thank you, Lord, for mercy and blessing and help. Now I pray that you'll give grace, for we need it. And I pray you'll give help and make men holy. I pray you'll touch our church. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.